Being who you are. Sesshin is to be who you are. Life is to be who you are. Practice is being who you are. To do what you are this moment. Nothing else is needed. And yet, in some ways, this is a silly thing to say. Who you are, finding out who you are, what is there to find out? Aren't you who you are? Don't you know who you are? Aren't we all who we are? And yet, in a way, you could say the whole of Buddha's teaching is to be who you truly are. Ah, but who are you this moment? What are you this moment? You are each of us. What are we? So in a sense, we could say the whole of the Buddha's teaching is to allow this moment to reveal that, to reveal who, what we are, rather than our thinking about it, our feeling about it, much less our memories about it, trying to figure it out. Problems we have are often because instead of allowing this life to reveal itself, to allow our life to reveal itself, to allow us to manifest who we are, to taste and be who we are, rather than do that, we use all sorts of tools designed for something else to be our guides. Tools such as thinking about, emoting about, feelings about, memories, and much more. And of course, all sorts of attachment and entanglements that naturally flow from those and are part of those. I don't say those tools are not useful. Thinking about is quite useful for many things. We all know that. Look at the wonderful aspects of life that have come through human thoughts, also the terrible aspects of life that have come through human thoughts and emotions. Sure, if you want to go somewhere in a town or city where you have not been, where you don't live, I use a map. These days, we've got the wonderful tool of cell phone, all sorts of cell phone apps that enable us to travel, to plot a route, to even find out where to go if we're not sure where to go for something. Even places we've never been. Many of us drive based on what these apps tell us. And just like apps before that, we used to look up maps. We used to ask advice for people and write down notes. We used to turn to our memory. Sometimes we used to make decisions well, I don't want to go on that route. I know I've been there before and it's always full of traffic. Or listen to the radio and get traffic reports, etc., etc. But that's not what session is, that's not what practice is, and all the more that's not the teaching that the Buddha taught. There's a case in the Blue Cliff record, case 14. A practitioner asked Yunmen, what are the periods and teachings of the whole lifetime of Shakyamuni? It said, the historical Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, taught for 49 years after his great awakening until he died. Preachings, teachings, all sorts of, as he wandered throughout the Indian subcontinent, taught many times, daily, when he met people, when people came to assemblies, and of course that makes up the many sutras, hundreds and thousands of sutras in different collections, different styles. Almost all of them, the different traditions, the Pali canon, the Sanskrit canon, the Agamas, etc., etc. Teachings of the Buddha, that's what this practitioner is asking Yunmen. What is the teaching? What are the periods and teachings of the whole lifetime of Shakyamuni? How do you put that together? All of those hundreds and thousands of teachings. Yunmen responded, a preaching in accordance. Nothing more. It certainly is a wonderful answer, a wonderful response. In a way, we could understand it conceptually, preaching in accordance with the individual that he meets, that he's speaking to, or the individuals that he's speaking to, who the listeners are. Often there's a question that starts it. Often there's special circumstances that start it. And we see the many different styles of Buddha's teaching, depending upon the questioner, the questioners, we could say education, intelligence, we could say skill, some who are illiterate, some who are quite literate and skilled in all sorts of other teachings, some who have no practice, some who have all sorts of advanced practice. So, teaching in accordance. In a way, that's an interesting expression. But there's different ways to, even just if we stay with that expression. Another way of translating those questions, the original Chinese of this text, the monk, the practitioner, asks, what are the teachings of a whole lifetime? Already he's got lots of ideas. How can you combine? Another way of translating the response of Yunmen is an appropriate statement. Interesting, an appropriate statement. That's an interesting way to put it, appropriate statement. Remember, if you limit it just to that, then in a way it becomes this teaching is appropriate for that person, this teaching is appropriate for that person, this teaching is appropriate for people who are, and so on and so forth. That kind of appropriate statement is somewhat problematic if we understand it just like that. I mean, sure, you could say that's what Yunmen's saying. That's certainly, what should I say? An acceptable statement, but there's nothing much in it. Certainly it's not quite worthy of being in the Blue Cliff Record collection. That's, anyone could say that, appropriate statement. Or preaching in accord. So in a sense, we say practice is like medicine. In accord with the illness of what the person shows up, that's the phrase that we use. But that's, while that may be true, it's really not the limit of what Yunmen is saying. Even more, it's a completely misses what Yunmen is saying. It completely misses because it's dead. It's a explanatory work. It's conceptual. And it'll never lead to us grasping for ourself the truth of the Buddha's awakening. And that's the point. When I worked on this case with my Zumi Roshi in Doksan, he said to me, a better translation and clarification of this is one preaching at a time. One preaching at a time is the whole universe at a time. He didn't say that. That's my adding on. One preaching at a time. And Yasutani Roshi, I heard, used the phrase, one preaching of it, one preaching of this. That's it. One preaching of this. What is that? What is this that we preach when we say good morning, when we say good evening? What is Buddha always preaching? It's not something that's gradual or something that's relative. It's not a preaching about existence or non-existence. What is it? Tenkei Denson, a commentary on this, says, even if you say that every word and every line of the whole canon of Buddha's lifetime is an appropriate statement, that still won't pass. Even if we say it is an appropriate statement of the very essence in which you cannot find an inch of ground on the whole earth, this too is misinterpretation, says Tenkei Denson. Tenkei Denson is a 17th century Zen master and actually is in our lineage, the Soto Zen master. If I explain more, of course, the whole point of the Buddha's speaking is always in terms of suffering and an end to suffering, if I explain. So how does that all wrap up in your mental state? Or you could say suffering and the cause of suffering, which is attachment, clinging. But Yunmen isn't explaining this. That's not the level of what Yunmen is doing. Yunmen, if I say it in a different way, is opening his guts and revealing them. In the verse on this, Shuedo says, a wedge is stuck into an iron hammer with no hole. An iron hammer means an iron hammerhead. And normally you have a hole and you stick a piece of wood into it in order to use it. But here, a wedge is stuck into an iron hammer with no hole. Wedge is stuck into an iron hammer with no hole. One preaching at a time. In fact, the whole universe is one preaching at a time, but that's too easy to say. We have to come out with one preaching at a time, every moment of our life. One preaching at a time isn't for us to understand anything with thoughts or explanations. It's for us to grasp our life. That's what Yunmen is offering this practitioner. The verse on this case ends with, the black dragon had his horn broken last night. Remarkable, remarkable. Old Shoyu still has one horn. The black dragon had his horn broken last night. So, that's in a way praising Yunmen's action. Old Shoyu is Yunmen. He lived on Mount Yunmen. That's why his name was Yun. And Shoyu is the it's an easier way to pronounce the Chinese area that it was. So it means Yunmen. He broke off one horn. And yet there's still another horn on this black dragon. Dragging. That's exactly the whole of the teaching. Dragon is the awakened life. Tenge has a nice comment on this. He says, Yunmen found the handle. He got hold of one of the horns of the black dragon and wrenched it off. Where is the other one? It couldn't be anywhere else. It's stuck in your nose, so everyone should try to find it. It is. This is all designed for the questioner to get it if he can. For us to get it if we can. Get what? This one preaching of this moment. It's always right here, right in front of us. Do we miss it? Do we have it in our hands? Can we offer it to others as needed, as they request it? One preaching at a time. Most of all, we need to really have it in our grip so that we can live it moment, moment. Not relative, not absolute. Not existence, not non-existence, not appropriate to our thinking, to our judgment of the circumstances. Not an interpretation, but live and manifest our life as we are. Someone said, actually, Yamada Roshi said, some people say that the other horn of the dragon is the phrase of the next case, which I'll bring up tomorrow, so I won't say more about it. He says, this could well be the case, that it is the other horn is the next phrase of Yunmen. We'll come back to Yunmen tomorrow. Yunmen, as some of you know, again I said, Yunmen is the Chinese way to pronounce his name. Umon is his name pronounced in the Japanese way. He's well known for his succinct phrases. It's often said that his phrases have multiple functions to both afford to go in accordance with the questioner, to, in a way, sum the whole thing up and cover it up, and yet at the same time to cut everything off and afford the direct truth of our life. So. We'll see that tomorrow. Thank you.